Hello and welcome back to Sports Report Podcast. I'm Billy.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Alejandro.
And today we're going to be talking about various topics, including the NFL.
Mostly the NFL.
We have a lot of that. So a little bit of NBA, a little bit of Champions League, a little bit of everything today. And I guess we're going to start off with the Cleveland Browns OBJ that was voted on a fan poll. So we're going to be talking about OBJ to start off the podcast. So earlier this week, OBJ was traded to the Cleveland Browns for a first round pick, 17th overall, a third round pick, and Jabril Peppers, from the New York Giants. So now Cleveland has weapons like Jarvis Landry, Odell, Baker, David Njoku, all these type of guys, and they're going to be really dangerous.
And that's just the pass game.
Yeah, that's just the pass game. We also got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and other guys like that who are going to be really, really good this season. And I just can't wait to see how they play. I mean, I think this team is playoff caliber, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make the playoffs.
Especially in the AFC.
Especially in the AFC, which it's getting really better for free agency.
Yes.
Emerging teams like the Jets and the Jaguars, things like that.
The Jets are questionable. They have Le'Veon Bell.
As long as Darnold works out.
His Le'Veon Bell's shape is in question.
It's in question, yeah. Cleveland, they could make a run in the playoffs around 11-5, maybe around there. They could make conference championship. I think Cleveland stacked up enough. Head coach is a problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
Their head coach has no head coaching experience.
Their defense is questionable.
Defense for Cleveland is questionable, but they did get Olivier Vernon also from the Giants earlier in the week.
That's a good addition.
We talked about that on episode one. So Olivier Vernon, he was pretty good. Just a lot of overall guys in Cleveland that are going to do well. They're shopping Emmanuel Ogba, but they're going to make a lot of moves. They have a lot of cap.
The Browns definitely owned the offseason.
They have owned the offseason overall. Along with teams like the Raiders, who have done really well, who we'll talk about later. But I guess we're going to go on and we're going to talk about Detroit. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions. We're going to talk about Kansas City. I forgot.
Yes.
I'm getting my plans mixed up. So Kansas City Chiefs overall, a team that can compete with Cleveland, or Cleveland can now compete with Kansas City, I think. Mahomes, you got Tyreek Hill.
They still have most of their offense, but they blew up their defense.
Defense was totally blown up. Weapons like Eric Berry released, Justin Houston released, other such guys that were traded away, like Dee Ford, which I think was a great move. Dee Ford, what they did with him, they franchise tagged him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they could either take him or they could search for trades, which they ultimately did. They searched for trades with Dee Ford. And Dee Ford, they traded him for a second-round pick to San Francisco.
Yep.
And he signed there 5 years, $87.5 million, I want to say. Somewhere around there. Trey Flowers got about 5 years, $90 million around there. So –
Trey Flowers got 5 years, $90 million with a $28 million signing bonus.
Yeah, so that's a big signing bonus.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that was biggest signing bonus. But anyways, D Ford and Trey. Yeah, what's the stats on D?
5 years, $87 million.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
no signing bonus though.
No signing bonus. All right, so D Ford, you know, he's a little less than Trey and all that, but. The Chiefs ultimately made the right decision, I think, franchise tagging him. They got really good trade for him, getting a second round pick that they can use to replace him. They can rebuild their defense, things like that. And, you know, they found a trade partner. Obviously, he's going to attract a lot of trades. 49ers wanted him, which is a little confusing because they already have DeForest Buckner, guys like that. On the defense. So the defensive line they've been working on for a long time. Hopefully D4 can solve that ultimately. He probably will. Trey Flowers. I think the Patriots should have done the same thing. With Trey, they could have franchise tagged him. They could have got a second round pick. They probably could have got first.
First round pick, easily.
Well, I don't know.
He's 25 or 24.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's a one-year contract.
Yeah.
And they could sign him. You know, Pats could keep franchise tagging him, but ultimately they're going to trade him. They'll probably get a second-round pick, I think. It could go for a first. Who knows? Amari Cooper went for a first. I think Trey's better value than that. He's a leader in the locker room, all that stuff. So if the Pats were to franchise Trey, which they ultimately didn't, he signed with the Detroit Lions. They probably could trade him to the Lions for a second-round pick, pulling a D Ford. And as for the Chiefs, their production this year is going to go down.
Yeah.
With these losses of Eric Berry, who suffered injuries, but he was a great player, great leader in the locker room, suffered leukemia for a little bit. He came back from that, hard fighter, good leader.
And they're looking for to Tyrann Mathieu to replace him.
Yeah, Tyrann Mathieu. That's a good pickup for him, but, you know,
if they were able to keep both of them, that would have been ideal.
Yeah, and they lost Justin Houston as well and D Ford. So their defense, which was already pretty bad earlier on, it got worse. And in this league, it's going to be rough keeping that together ultimately. And having a team like that with a really good offense and things like that, the Chiefs aren't just – they're not going to compete as much as they were last season, probably with Cleveland and things like that.
But with their defense not being as well, the offense might get more opportunities on the field because the opposing offense will probably be able to march down the field faster.
Yeah, that's not really a good thing.
I don't know. You know? Look at that either way, that Pat Mahomes gets more opportunities.
Yeah.
But their other team's going to be scoring just as well.
Yeah. Next season, Cleveland's definitely going to be able to compete with them, I think, because Cleveland has a great offense. They have a great defense. They're what you would want Kansas City to be. And I'm just sorry to say, Kansas City might be a one-year thing. They might have to come back with a newer defense in a few years. That I don't see them competing for a Super Bowl with a bad defense. We'll see what they do in the draft. They see what they do in the rest of the free agency. There's still a lot of people.
They're probably going to look to draft mostly defensive players.
Their offense is stacked. They don't really need
possibly much. A running back because they lost Kareem Hunt.
They do have Damian Williams, who they signed to a 3-year contract.
He is solid.
He's a solid running back.
But you need a number two.
They do need a number two. But Chiefs, interesting situation. So we're going to go on to Detroit Lions and New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Almost the same team.
Almost the same team. The Detroit Lions, they have turned into the Patriots, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Patricia, former defensive coordinator in New England, hired last year to become the head coach of the Lions.
Didn't look like he was doing that good of a job.
No, he didn't do that well. And this offseason, questionable, but he's picking up a lot of Patriots. So I'm going to name off a few. The first one was Danny Amendola. He signed a 5-year contract. Not 5-year. He signed a 1-year contract for $5 million. They also signed, so he's a former Patriot, obviously, a good slot pickup. He'll do well in Detroit, I think. Replacing kind of Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Being that kind of guy. He can demand a pretty good season, and he can be a good safety blanket, I think, for Matthew Stafford. The next one is Trey Flowers, 5 years, $90 million. We already talked about him. Great pickup for the Lions. They have the cap, so it was good to go out and get him.
Mm-hmm. Big loss for the Patriots.
Big loss for the Pats. But
especially in leadership.
Especially in leadership.
Stephon Gilmore is going to have to pick up that role.
Yeah.
Or Kyle Van Noy.
I think Trey Flowers in the locker room in Detroit is going to make a big difference because some people in the locker room, in the Pats locker room, I said after the first year that Trey was – big leader, big help to the defense of line, and he was kind of the leader of the defensive line for his whole entire tenure.
Could help the work ethic for the Lions.
Yeah, and he definitely needs to step up. Some people need to step up in the Pats organization to take over his role as kind of the leader of the defense.
And you would look to Stephon Gilmore for that, seeing that he is the starting defensive player right now.
Or Devin McCourty, some guys like that, but you would like someone who's going to stay here a little longer.
I think McCourty might be the Gilmore. Ideal role because of his experience with the organization of the Patriots.
Yeah. And just overall, he's a good leader. You know, you see him in the pre-game hype circles,
yeah,
things like that. He's a great leader. A good guy overall. Yeah. Yeah, so Trey Flowers, he's going to do well in Detroit, I think. I don't think Trey's the kind of guy that will take all his money, get fat, and bail. But Trey, I think, will do well. Now, this is the most puzzling move I've ever seen in my whole entire life. The worst move I've ever seen in my life in free agency and everything like that. So I just want you right now to guess how much Golden Tate got from the Giants.
15 mil.
15 mil over yep. 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a little low.
I didn't know the years.
Yeah. Okay, so 4 years for Golden Tate.
25 mil.
25? A little higher.
30.
30, we're closer. We're getting closer.
33.
33, we're getting closer.
Oh, jeez. 35?
A little bit closer.
37.
37.5 over 4 years. Now, that is not the bad contract. It's kind of a bad move. We'll get to it a little later. Now, Justin Coleman. Justin Coleman. So, he played on the Patriots about 2 years ago. He was nickel corner.
I'd say he didn't really play.
He didn't really play. He sat on the bench. He was kind of there every once in a while. Wasn't a good corner, really. He was kind of a problem on defense whenever he was out there.
Yeah.
And we traded him for a 7th-round pick to the Seahawks, the Pats did. And that was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
We got a 7th-round pick out of him. We didn't really need him, as shown last year. And we traded him over there. Now, Coleman had a 1-year contract with them and jumped to free agency this offseason. Now, guess how much he got?
Didn't he get like
20? He had a 4-year contract. Now, how much did he get?
Oh, God. Was it 23?
No.
It was more than that, isn't it?
It is. It's really
Please bad. Tell me it's not 50.
No, definitely. If it was 50, then I'd probably like freak
out. I'm going to say somewhere around 35 or 40.
You're right on the mark. It's 4 years, $36 million.
Oh, my God.
So that's $9 million a season.
Way too much.
For Justin Coleman.
Way
He's like
too
a
much.
Fourth corner.
Now, I give him a minimum.
Matt Patricia, I don't know if he sees something in Justin Coleman that we don't. But he played under Matt Patricia. So there's a connection there. You can see that. But 4 years, $36 million.
You said he was traded to the Seahawks.
He was traded to the Seahawks from the Patriots last season. And signed
oh,
the Lions.
Got it. Yep.
You see what I... Yeah.
I don't know who he is, so I
yeah,
really couldn't
exactly.
Talk about
it. That is my point. Justin Coleman, he's an overall bad player. And this is the type of guy should be demanding a one-year, $2 million, $1 million contract. He gets $9 million a year. He's probably have like a, I don't know his exact cap hit, but it's probably like $6 million, which is detrimental mm-hmm. to the Lions franchise. And it's just a horrible contract. If you're paying Golden Tate $1.5 million more dollars than Justin Coleman, there's something wrong.
Yes, I agree.
What that tells you is that the Lions could have went, and they could have went and re-signed
Golden Tate.
For just $1.5 million, well, they could have went and signed him again because he was
Do you think that Golden Tate just didn't want to be back in Detroit?
I think
that might have been a possibility.
He tried to sign an extension, I think, but they didn't really agree to terms.
Surprising, because he was their one of – I think he was their
He's
number
their
one
top. Yeah, him and Marvin Jones. But overall, it's just a bad signing. He'll be out by the first year, guarantee it. It was just – horrific. Excuse me. But it's just a horrific signing. I want to go over a little more later. But I think we can get into some like Champions League if you want to.
No.
You don't want to get into that?
I think we should finish the NFL segment.
All right. Well, then we'll
keep it nice and organized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do some NFL stuff.
Again.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about some of the Pats losses, the Patriots. So they started off the free agency by losing Dwayne Allen to the Dolphins. They also lost Cordarrelle Patterson, 2 years, $10 million to the Bears.
Way too much money for him.
In my
perspective.
Yeah, it was a good move to kind of let him go. He really didn't do much.
Solid in the special teams, but still – dominant special teams players, not $10 million.
Yeah. There was what they re-signed Philip Dorsett. They didn't really sign much else. They lost Trey Flowers. They They haven't lost Chris Hogan yet.
They lost Trent Brown.
They lost Trent Brown, which is a big
to
move.
To a Raiders 4-year, $66 million contract.
Making him the highest paid.
The highest paid lineman in history. Which is surprising because he's a good block lineman, but he's not.
He was traded
he's
for
not
a
anything
round
great.
Pick to New England.
Yeah.
A fifth round pick, which is usually a guy that would be out of the league. In the fifth round pick.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the 49ers selected with that pick, but
it really just wasn't
not worth it.
Yeah.
Not worth it at all. Raiders are going to look good though and things like that. With Antonio Brown, who was late for his press conference and kind of his style where he says the game doesn't need him anymore.
Yeah.
That he could just leave the game if he wants. So,
he wants the game.
He does want the game.
Or does he want
the money? He doesn't need the game.
He wants the money.
He wants the money, but he doesn't need it.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. But, so he showed up late to the Raiders press conference. Now, apparently him and Derek Carr are best friends all of a sudden. Seems going cheeky. I wouldn't be surprised if Derek Carr gets traded or something. That would be a little awkward.
Yeah.
I think they should stick with him. But
as a quarterback, you're probably going to want to develop a good relationship with your star wide receiver as soon as possible, especially after losing someone like Amari Cooper and having to run a whole season with basically no weapons.
They also traded – they didn't trade, but they signed Chargers wide receiver Tyrell Williams, who's the number 2 to Keenan Allen. I think he's had a 100,000-yard season before. He's a good player, really good player. They have a really good 1-2 punch there.
Yeah.
Now, LaMarcus Joyner also signed there as a free safety. He was a Rams free safety. Franchise tag after franchise tag. Rams finally let him go. He goes signs big money deal with the Raiders. So that's really good. Pairing him up with Carl Joseph, I believe. And they finally get a good secondary there, along with Trent Brown. They also trade Kelce Oatmeal to the Jets, so they can block for Le'Veon Bell and things like that. So the Raiders are going to be interesting next year. That's another team that can come up next season and compete for a playoff spot. I don't think they're there just yet, but they certainly are close. So I'm going to move on to some Chiefs former player drama. That's what I want to go over right now.
Okay.
So there is developments earlier today that Tyreek Hill apparently was under investigation for alleged battery that was involving a juvenile. The team's aware of this. This is reported by the Kansas City Star, which I believe is a newspaper in Kansas City, or obviously a news publication or something like that. Pro Football Talk also said if Tyreek Hill did indeed break his child's arm, which I guess is what he's being accused of.
Oh, my.
Which is horrible. It's kind of flashbacks to Adrian Peterson, but this is much worse. You know, Tyreek has had kind of a history of a little bit of crime and things like that. So
Chiefs players in general have now, apparently.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Chiefs, really.
Turned into the Cowboys.
And Pro Football Talk also said that the NFL should seriously consider banishment of him if he is to do this. So banishment, I believe, would mean he's gone for the rest, for like
would he
ever.
Be the first player to be banished from the NFL?
I don't believe so, but he could be like gone if this is true. I don't think the NFL is going to go to that extreme, especially with how they handle stuff like this. But overall, I think that Tyreek, if he did that, that's horrible. Absolutely horrible. And, you know, he needs to be punished for it. I would think one season possibly. But the Chiefs, they could fall down even more with this.
Without their star wide receiver.
They have Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, they do have Sammy Watkins.
That's about it.
Tyreek Hill is just such a weapon and he's so fast.
And Mahomes would go down his production.
His only weapon, really, would be Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
But without the explosiveness that Tyreek Hill has, it would be harder for Kelce to get open because he'd be seeing a lot more double teams.
Yeah, there'd be a lot more focus on him and stuff. So that's kind of a scary thing in the NFL right now, that happening. Also, Another thing that I just noticed, the Chiefs actually signed Carlos Hyde, who's the former Browns running back, as the backup running back. So they have him. He's a good running back. He can be a starting Cowboy. I think he's probably better than Damian Williams. So I think
probably
you might see.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's a kind of under the radar signing. I really like Carlos Hyde. He puts up big numbers and you don't really notice it, but he did really well last season before he got traded to Jacksonville, where he kind of just sat.
Yeah, he's not really paid attention to, but he's a quality running back.
Yeah. So kind of talking about other people. So this is kind of the theme that we're running along in this segment, is kind of like people who are getting in a little trouble with the law, I'd say, or the NFL.
Definitely someone who you would associate with that, Josh Gordon.
Yeah, so Josh Gordon, I want to get into him and Kareem Hunt. So Josh Gordon, obviously, suspended indefinitely earlier because he's getting back into the drugs and things like that. We're not sure what it is, but
He is. It does seem that he's looking to come back to the Patriots. I would hope.
He seems like he's getting better, but
every time we think he's good, he messes up again.
And as Stephen A. Smith, he needs to get off the weed. He really needs to get off the weed. Yeah, Josh Gordon coming back to the Patriots is a must right now.
It would really help
them. And I think Belichick knows that
especially with the chance of losing Chris Hogan.
Yes, because the Patriots
really wouldn't have a second receiver, and Dorsett really isn't really someone you can depend on.
Yeah, right now the Patriots and the wide receivers only have Julian Edelman, Braxton Berrios, Philip Dorsett, and Maurice Harris and Bruce Ellington. So those are not – I think Belichick knows something about Josh Gordon because he needs to really come back for them to do well.
Yeah,
in the past game and overall. So AFC teams are in a lot of trouble. Also, Kareem Hunt. So it was officially released that Kareem Hunt's going to be suspended 8 games when he comes back to the NFL. So he's going to be with the Browns, so he's going to be suspended 8 games. That's not good for the Browns, but obviously they got Nick Chubb, things like that, so I think they'll be just fine. So that's news on Kareem Hunt.
On to Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. So, Le'Veon Bell signed with the New York Jets. What's the
4 years, $52.5 million.
Yeah. So what's ironic about this is that Le'Veon was actually offered more.
He was offered 5 years, $70 million.
So that's a little awkward for him, but I don't think he was happy in Pittsburgh anyways. And going to the Jets is really interesting.
He was looking for like a better organization with more like happiness, I guess.
Yeah.
And the Jets really does not seem like that place. I mean, you're in New York, so that does help. It's a nice city.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves New York.
Yeah.
Well, most people.
Most of them. I personally think it's wonderful there. I like it very much. The city is very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. But I'm sure Le'Veon will love it too. It's a bigger market. He can get his brand out there. To the Jets. Also a young core. They also signed Jamison Crowder in free agency. CJ Mosley, which was a good move. They tried to sign Anthony Barr, the linebacker for the Vikings, but he ultimately backed out. Their linebacker core looked like it was going to be amazing. Anthony Barr, CJ Mosley, mm-hmm. Dream team, young linebackers. It ultimately fell apart. Now Le'Veon's on an offense where it's young. It's not really known, and they're going to rely heavily on him. For fantasy guys out there, he's going to be pretty good, I think. People are going to be more keyed on him. Sam Darnold is shaky. We don't really know what's going to go in New York.
Yeah. It's really a 50-50.
Yeah,
do they still have Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, they got Robbie Anderson.
If they can,
and Quincy and Nunua.
If they can use like the pass game to open up the run game and the run game to open up the pass game.
Yeah.
Then I think it'll work out if Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson can really start working out a connection.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's hard to tell, especially not knowing at all what Le'Veon's going to look like as a player. I mean, we know he has the talent, but there was a lot of questions about him being way out of shape and gaining a lot of weight while he was partying off in Miami.
Yeah. So really interesting, Le'Veon. But ultimately, I think it's really 50-50 where he's going to go. And I think he's going to do well. I think Darnold isn't really the guy, in my opinion, but we don't know that yet.
We're not sure.
You can't really see could do anything. Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for Le'Veon.
He's in I the think this could really
it's going to help Darnold.
This could really open up things for Darnold.
Yeah, you know he has someone finally hand off to mm-hmm. defer to. So
who was his running back last year?
You know what? I'm not really sure. Who was their running back last year? I'm gonna research that. I want to say Bilal Powell took some reps.
Yeah.
But other than that,
depth chart.
Yeah.
Isaiah Crowell.
They released
Elijah McGuire.
Yeah.
And Trenton Cannon.
No Bilal Powell?
No.
No?
Apparently not.
No, that's weird.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, yeah, anyways, yeah, they definitely a big improvement, but hopefully they'll do well next season. And yeah, so that's all I got for the NFL stuff. Yeah, that's all I got. All
right.
Hello and welcome back to Sports Report Podcast. And we have some breaking news. So from Ian Rappaport, just breaking now at 9:19 p.m. on Saturday, Friday, March 15th. Free agent quarterback Blake Bortles, who was recently released by the Jaguars, he will visit the Rams on Monday, according to a team source. So Bortles going to the Rams for a visit. A little interesting here, the young quarterback in Goff they already have, but good learning experience for him, just kind of staying in the league, staying afloat is what he needs. The Pats would be an interesting team for him and other teams like that. So that is your breaking news.
All right, so on to our Champions League and soccer segment. Cristiano Ronaldo, dominant comeback game against Atletico Madrid with a hat trick.
Yeah, he did it again, like he did against Wolfsburg in 2017. Ronaldo scored a hat trick to help his team overturn a 2-0 deficit in the first leg. And he helped Juventus, this time it was Juventus, and they won 3-0 against Atletico Madrid to advance to the quarterfinals.
Man City absolutely destroys Schalke 7-0.
Yep. After a tight first game that ended 3-2, Man City destroyed Schalke 7-0 with goals from Aguero, Leroy Sané, Sterling, Bernardo Silva, Jesus, and even Phil Foden.
Liverpool defeat Bayern.
Liverpool defeated Bayern 3-1. Sadio Mane had a really good game, scoring twice, and Virgil van Dijk also scored once. And they put in they scored all goals as they scored an own goal for Bayern for the 3-1 after a 0-0 first leg.
Barca beats Lyon, which is not surprising at all. It's just expected from Barcelona at this point with Messi being so dominant.
Barcelona woke up, you could say, because they had a 0-0 first leg, but then they showed why they're the better team, and they beat them 5-1 this time.
Yeah. Man City against Spurs.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the quarterfinal matchups that came out yesterday. Man City's going to go against Spurs. I expect Man City to beat Spurs.
Especially with the unlucky results of Spurs and really not winning any trophies in the last like 10 years.
Spurs isn't really good in big situations.
They have talent, but they don't show up in big games.
And I don't expect this to be any different, especially because they've lost their last four games. They're winless in their last four games in the Premier League with only one draw to Arsenal. And I just can't really see them beating a Man City team that's on a streak and has been so dominant over the last few games.
Juventus versus Ajax. I think this should be a game where Cristiano Ronaldo yet again dominates in the Champions League, like always. I mean, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. It's the Champions League. He's going to score. Yeah, that's how it goes.
He's a top scorer all time for the Champions League, and it's they got arguably the easiest team for the next round. Although Ajax did pull off the huge upset against Real Madrid, which we're not going to expand on, and yeah, Juventus's firepower is just amazing. It's just amazing, and they're obviously known for their defense, which they haven't lost much of. So I can't see Ajax putting up any competition for Juventus, especially when Ronaldo is so dominant in the Champions League.
And with Dybala assisting him.
Yeah, with Dybala and Douglas Costa on the wings.
Man United versus Barcelona. I don't think Man United has any chance at all.
Yep.
Because it's Barcelona, and it's Messi, it's and Suarez. They're Man U. And they're against Man U.
In yep, the they're a 2019 Man U. They're not a dominant 2000.
And in the Champions League. United.
Yep.
It's
not going
to
happen.
Times have changed.
It was really good of them to win against PSG last round. PSG with another choke job last round. And this time they're against Barcelona. I think they've been more they can shoot because they just cannot beat Barcelona. It'd be really surprising for me if they beat Barcelona because Rashford didn't do very well against their last game against Arsenal. And this is Barcelona, who's a lot better defense and everything. And I don't think that ultimately a Rashford, Lingard, Pogba, and Martial offense will prevail against Barcelona, who's mainly known for their offense because that's the more flashy part. But their defense is really good because they have like Umtiti and Piqué, who are really good, solid defenders. And they also have one of the arguably the best goalkeeper in the world. So,
on to Liverpool versus Porto. I think Liverpool should win, but this year in the Champions League has proven that what you think is definitely not going to happen every time. Seeing with Real Madrid and their awful, awful
game. And PSG also and, lost the lead.
And
so
PSG's
yeah.
lost to a not good and very crippled Man United team.
Well, they've been really good against under their new manager. But, yeah, it was not expected for them to come back, even without Neymar. But, yeah, Porto versus Liverpool. Liverpool beat them 5-0 last time they faced them in the Champions League in a group stage. So I don't expect the knockout phase to be any different. And I think Liverpool's going to advance to the semifinals.
And as Alejandro kind of mentioned earlier about Rashford not performing well against Arsenal – as I am an Arsenal fan and Billy is a Man United fan,
yes.
I'm just going to mention the fact that Arsenal defeated Man United 2-0
yeah.
at Manchester United Stadium.
Old Trafford, yeah.
Yep. So, which also boosted them into fourth place, which would guarantee them a Champions League spot if they can hold it.
Yeah.
And push Man United into the Europa League, which would be hilarious.
Yeah. Which would not be hilarious.
It would be,
but it'd be a reflection of their quality.
Bayern Munich has made a comeback this season in the second half against Dortmund.
Yeah, Dortmund started off really lively and really good. Scored a lot of goals with a flashy offense featuring Jordan Sancho, Marco Reus, and Paco Alcacer off the bench. But it's just what
and Christian Pulisic.
Christian Pulisic was pretty average this year, but they started off
go USA.
Really, really
America.
he sealed 70 million. He's in the bag for going to Chelsea this summer. So I mean, but yeah, they started off really well and they got a lot of attention because they were in a Bundesliga, which Bayern has won for the last 6 seasons. So
to Bayern beer showers.
Yep, they celebrate every single season. Because they're that much dominant over every other team. So, but, you know, this season they started off, they were on top for most of the season, but now they've been a little shaky. And Bayern just got back to their normal form, which will not allow for any slip-ups any further. As Bayern has overtaken them on goal difference, although they're tied on points. So it just depends on how Dortmund plays out the final 9 games of the season.
And Man City overtakes Liverpool by 1 point in the Premier League standings. With Liverpool, I think they drew against who?
They drew
Everton?
Against, no, they beat Burnley, but before that they drew against Everton.
They dropped points against Everton.
Man United, Leicester, West Ham, and West Ham in the last 2 months or so since the beginning of the new year. So that's a lot of points drawn, lost against teams that they should be beating, because those are not title contenders. The best team they faced on that stretch among those teams is Everton, which is in 11th place this season. Man United's in fifth. But yeah, the teams that if you're a title contender and really hope to win the title, if you're like a champion, you should be beating them. And then Man City's just been so dominant, so they just overtook them on top of the Premier League.
Yeah, and moving on to some basketball.
Yep.
So, do we want to go with the NBA or college basketball first?
I think we should get into some NBA stuff.
All right.
Next thing, yeah.
Kyrie posted a triple-double last night against the Kings with 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists. And the Celtics come back against the Sacramento Kings.
Which is his first triple-double win, I think, a while, actually.
Yeah, it's certainly his first one as a Celtic.
Yeah. Which is really surprising of a player of his caliber to only get a triple.
He's not much of a rebounder or a great assister.
That is a
well, he's turning into point.
He turned
also,
into like
he also
a really
only,
good
no,
yeah, and most importantly,
Brad
Stevens only plays him like 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's averaging 33 minutes per game, so he doesn't play a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's still a decent amount of
to be fair,
and he's on a team with this much talent, so
yeah.
He's gonna get the ball every possession, like a Westbrook or anyone else would.
Yeah.
To be fair, the Celtics should not have been in the position where they had to come back in the first place, seeing that they were against the Sacramento Kings, who were not a good team.
Who they beat.
Well, it would have been a lot more fun last season when the Celtics were pulling off comebacks left and right. But
yeah.
This season,
they are entertaining, but I would much rather watch them blow out a team. Especially when they blew out the Warriors. That was fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah. Especially seeing such a good team like the Warriors, who they're having problems this season. Kind of fell apart.
Celtics just aren't consistent this season at all.
The Celtics are inconsistent, but it's nice to see them kind of back in a little bit of a stride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Winning some
four
games.
Four of the last five.
It hasn't been like that in a while.
Yeah.
They seem rejuvenated, though.
Like on that West Coast trip with the
Kyrie
West,
really took
the
charge
Warriors,
on
the
plane.
Lakers, yeah. Mm. That seemed
really. Really showed his leadership skills, helped the Celtics out, and they were functioning much more as a team now instead of individuals. Nikola Jokic hit a turnaround fadeaway game winner.
Yeah, it was like a hook game. Yeah,
against
the Dallas Mavericks after Luka dunked it with like 5 seconds left. Then the Nuggets turned the other end and Jokic scored the game winner.
Bunch of young stars, Euro stars, showing their worth in the NBA.
Yeah, although the Mavericks have now slid into like the third worst record in the West.
Which
says after they traded DeAndre and Dennis Smith, which is to be expected because the main center
for their future, trying to get some good, get a good
the
draft pick and
play
add another.
The main player they got from that isn't going to play the rest of the season.
And they're going to try and add another decent player from a draft. And in that trade, dropping games, which gives you a higher draft.
This draft's pretty good. Especially the top. Mm. It's a little top heavy, though.
So, Pacers made a nice comeback. Wesley Matthews hit a game winner against
the Thunder. Yeah, the Thunder kind of choked last night. It wasn't major, but they lost to the Thunder. They beat Wesley Matthews scored a putback game winner against the Thunder last night, which keeps Indiana in that 4 seed.
So, what I think is really surprising is that the Pacers are holding still.
Yeah,
without,
they're playing really well without Victor Oladipo. They haven't had him since, for, 2 months now or so.
It's
that knee injury.
Really amazing.
And they're still, they're still holding that.
I think, too, they had, a really tough record going in. Well, not, a really tough schedule as well.
Yeah. I saw they were watching against the Phillies, against the Sixers, and they said, they had one of the they have a pretty hard schedule remaining for them.
Yeah.
They're playing the Nuggets.
They're playing the Nuggets tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
They got the Trailblazers on Monday and the Clippers on Tuesday.
Those are all playoff teams. So, yeah, they definitely have a hard schedule. It'd be interesting to see if the Pacers can actually stay in that 4 seed.
Mm.
With the Celtics, coming back.
Coming
out.
Also, are the Sixers ahead of them?
Yeah, the Sixers are the 3rd seed.
Yeah. So they could actually catch up to the Sixers.
The Sixers actually have the same record as them right now, but but they have a better head-to-head. I saw the Sixers beat the Pacers.
The Pacers could catch up to the Sixers, possibly catch the 3 seed, which would be pretty impressive.
That would be
for a team without Victor Oladipo. They've really been.
Although come playoff time, that might come to like that flaw would be exponentiated, like larger, because it just come playoff time, you really need a go-to scorer and star, and with Oladipo, they don't have that, so that would really suck. And he was also an all-defensive defender, so.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular position, it'd be interesting to see them against the Celtics in a 7-game series, though.
I think that would be an interesting series to watch. I think the Celtics would be able to win that game, seeing the talent that they had, and the Pacers being without Victor Oladipo.
But even then,
I think it would still be a good matchup.
Yep.
Seeing how the Pacers players stepped up, just like the Celtics players did last year.
That would be interesting. Although they don't have like the young players, it'd still be interesting.
Pacers have a good all around
players.
Team.
Yeah, the CFL players like Sabonis and Miles Turner step up, and those players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Serge Ibaka suspended 3 games for fighting for what really didn't appear like any reason at all.
So yeah, he fought Marquese Chris, who was also suspended 1 game.
Marquese Chris pretty much stared him down. Ibaka wasn't taking any of that, and got up,
threw him against the support of the basket, and then
tried
threw
to
a punch,
MMA.
But yeah, threw a punch, and Chris dodged it.
Yeah. Ibaka loves starting fights, and it started after a full court throw from the Cavs, I think it was, and then they just did not catch it, and it just, like, I don't know, it wasn't too much, and then Ibaka fell on the floor, and he just got really mad at Marquese Chris and just decided to fight him, which is always the answer in life.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen a fight in the NBA maybe
like
all
that.
Season.
Well, I think we've seen fights, but not like that.
Yeah.
Like, I went to a Jazz game,
uh-huh.
and there was a fight between...
Speaking of Jazz.
Who fought? I forget. I don't know.
Well, someone fought.
There was a fight.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Someone threw a punch. It might have been Jay Crowder. I don't think it was, though, because he stayed in for the rest of the game, unless they only handed out technicals. But,
Yeah, that fight, I haven't seen something like that in a really long time.
It's kind of nice to see the NBA not being soft for once.
Yeah.
Kind of getting back their physical.
It was like the Chris Paul Rajon Rondo thing earlier this year.
Yeah. Well, that was just a turtle spinning around.
Also, with the Jazz, the fan that verbally assaulted Russell Westbrook with racial slurs was suspended. Was banned from Jazz
for life.
Yeah, from NBA games.
NBA games or just the Jazz?
I think at least the Jazz games. Although I don't really think that other, because they can't track them. Like,
yeah.
Also, the Jazz owner, who is a elderly lady, she actually went out onto the court during one of the games and made an announcement to the fans that said that they will not tolerate this type of behavior.
I think that was their owner.
Fans. Yeah, their owner. Yeah, that's what I said. And not just some random elderly old lady. But
that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. But
it is nice to see an owner taking initiative of that, though.
Especially because, like, she could have just went out, went out there. She could have wrote, like, kind of a letter or whatever.
Yeah,
she went
like,
out there and
like,
actually addressed the fans and said that this... Utah is racist, and
this is starting to become a reputation.
It's not going
to Utah Jazz, though.
Yeah,
they're starting to get a bad rep because they did the same thing against the Thunder last playoffs.
Mm. Thunder and the Jazz thing—they
don't get along well.
No,
new rivalry starting.
Rightfully so, that fan shouldn't have been saying stuff to Russ, and his reaction would be found online. It was not very.
His reaction was a little inappropriate.
Well, you can,
and he was. I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It makes sense. But, like,
it's human instinct.
It's
back.
Yes. The language.
You can
it
watch
really,
it for yourself because we're not going to show that because that's just, it was very explicit.
Yeah. Language with players in the NBA to fans has been very just laid back, and they've been swearing really all they want and taking a $15,000, $25,000 fines, like the Kyrie incident last year at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
That sparked a 17-game win streak.
Yeah, that gave us a 17-game, so.
Maybe this Russell Westbrook thing will spark a win streak. Who knows?
Who knows?
I just players say, swearing at fans, I mean, starts things.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're fighting for that 3 seed, so.
maybe that's the spark that they got and they need.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how the NBA tackles the fan issue, because Russell Westbrook's been complaining about it for a while now.
All right, on to college basketball.
Yep.
All right, so first off, I want to talk about Tennessee
and those comments you made last week.
I am no longer putting them as a championship team in my bracket.
Yeah.
I will put them in the Elite Eight and maybe the Final Four. I will not have them winning the championship, seeing how awful they have been playing. I'm very upset.
Very upset?
Yeah. I'm disappointed. The amount of seniors we have on the squad that are talented and hard workers, I want to see them succeed, but they are not performing.
I'm going to have to agree with that. As I said last week, I was kind of against Tennessee.
Yeah, we didn't say that last week, though. We didn't go enough well.
I said that.
Support for Tennessee Volunteers. So.
Yeah, me and Alejandro were kind of against Tennessee. And I think, well, we don't know if we're right about that yet or not, but it's certainly heading that way. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the tournament when it starts up. I believe, does the tournament start up next week?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You can start filling up your brackets in a couple days.
Yeah, well, actually, next week we might do some brackets.
Bracketology.
Possibly. Yes, we're going to do some bracketology. And we'll share our brackets and what we are doing next week. So, I kind of want to talk about Zion's return. Not to be ESPN.
Not to turn into ESPN, but he did have a good game.
So, I think this is the first time we've talked
about
Zion.
But we will not show you.
It's not.
We mentioned him.
Yeah. But we will not
mentioned him.
We will not post each one of his dunks for you, or his pre-game warm-up, or his post-game warm-up.
Or what sandwich he ate today for lunch.
The record for most points scored by a player who ate a bologna sandwich before a game.
Yeah.
They also
on ESPN.
The media also made a big deal about his the Kyries he was wearing.
Yeah.
Kyrie 4s. I don't know why that was a big idea. Big thing, but
I mean,
he was
injured because of the
so,
PG snap.
Anyways, Zion last night versus Syracuse in the ACC tournament, who's 6th seed. Syracuse is a very good team. Zion had an amazing 13 for 13 shooting. He had 29 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 steals, which led to a Duke victory, 84 to 72.
Yeah, that's a really good game.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen the dominant Duke that was there in the first couple months of the season where they were blowing out every team they matched up against.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in a lot more close games that don't seem like they should be as close as they are. And I think their
inexperience definitely shows.
I think their inexperience is starting to show, and that might flaw them in the tournament.
They won 5 in a row, though. But
they're on a win streak, but the amount of chances the other teams have had to get game-winning buzzer beaters or hit late-game shots that
they're not in a 5-game winning streak. That was the wrong part of the schedule.
Oh.
Yeah, they won against Syracuse, but they've won 3 of their last 5, so it's not the best. They've shown that they need Williamson, though, because they haven't been that good with only Reddish and Barrett as their scorers.
They were – if you look at their stats, they basically were winning every game until the Zion injury against North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. They definitely exposed a lot of their flaws as a basketball team, and they're reliant on Zion because
– And I think – with having such a talented core 3 players, I think they should not be losing any games at all. They should be able to function on 1 or 2 of those star players. Even though Cam Reddish he's talented, he's a good player. I'd put him top 10 in my draft board, but
Cam Reddish?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone would, yeah.
But
I think Zion's draft stock definitely improved with this game.
Yeah. He's been really inconsistent from the
and Tyron shows a lot of defensive effort, which helps as well.
Yeah, 5 steals, which is amazing.
And a block.
13 for 13 shooting too. Shooting consistency.
He probably takes all of his all of the shots are practically layups. But yeah. Yet again, shooting 100% from the field in the game is still impressive.
He gets the spots. He knows what his game
is. Especially with all these all-around stats and winning the game.
Yeah.
Which is most important.
Did he have any assists?
He probably did. I don't have any of those down.
Okay.
But at least Zion knows his game. He's not like firing like three-pointers a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched a couple games, and I've seen him take like 2 threes. I know he made one of them, but it was good. All right, on to Ja Morant in Murray State.
Yeah, the top 5 pick of the Murray State Racers. They beat Belmont in an important game. Ja Morant showed up with 36 points.
And that win moves them into first place in the Ohio Valley
Conference.
And they won by 12 points, 77-65. And they are on a 4, 5, 6.
Just keeps going.
7, 8. At least 8 game
folks,
win streak.
Aiden can't
count. we ran out of games that Yahoo wants to show us.
But Aiden can count, so.
I can count. That is a good thing. They've had some really dominant games. Let's see if my computer wants to work for a second. Winning by at least 10 points basically every game, absolutely destroying a couple teams, putting up 100-plus points in 2 of their last, I think, 10 games. Alejandro is just pulling up some interesting
Ja
things.
Morant's
Ja Morant
hair was not very good in high school.
Fun fact.
Ja Morant had a bad haircut.
Fun
in high
fact:
school.
Do not dye your hair red. Just don't do it.
It ain't worth it.
You're gonna regret it.
But I think Murray State could be a dark horse, right?
I pick Murray State as a dark horse. I think
not to win it.
I wouldn't have them winning it, but I think they could definitely,
100%,
I think they can make it to the Sweet 16.
Few upsets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they could pull off a bunch of upsets.
Especially because Ja steps up to every single game.
Ja Morant's a sophomore?
Yep, he's a sophomore, but he's actually, like, he's only 19.
He's a sophomore, but he shows experience. And
he's a sophomore, but he's, like, 19 right now. So
he's showing that he's pretty experienced.
Ja Morant's a sophomore, but he's only like a month older than Cam Reddish, who's a freshman. So he's a young, very young sophomore.
Difference.
I don't know how he's that young, but it works.
And it's even good that they have that he has that experience for
such a young age,
college, so that he gets that college experience. He gets used to playing high level ball before he goes in. So, yeah.
All right. That's all we got today. Thank you for listening to the Sports Report Podcast. If you want to give us any topics or leave us any messages, download the Anchor mobile app and send us a message through
social
there.
Media.
Or if you want to send us any messages on social media, our Instagram and Twitter is Sports Report Podcast, just as it is. Right here on Anchor. Thank you.